Chapter 4. Disciples to the Core. Syncretism is the mixing of Christian assumptions with those worldview assumptions that are incompatible with Christianity, so that the result is not biblical Christianity. Syncretism weakens the church, warps non-Christians' understanding of Christianity, and withholds from God the full devotion and complete obedience that is rightly due to Him. So the spiritual health and vibrancy of Christian churches depends on developing a faith that is as free from syncretism as possible, a faith that is both biblical and culturally relevant. Several key elements can contribute to discipling oral learners with a minimal amount of syncretism. The first key element in avoiding syncretism is communicating with people in their mother tongue, the language in which they learned their religion, values, and cultural identity. They house their innermost thoughts in their mother tongue, so it is the language through which their worldview is most likely to change. They can explain their new faith more readily to others in their people group when they use the mother tongue. In using the mother tongue, one must carefully consider the key biblical terms to use in a language if there is not yet a Bible translation. Concepts like love, grace, and sin, or even the basic notion like the name used for God, the Holy Spirit, or Christ, need to be carefully identified. Inadequacies in this area readily lead to syncretism. When pastors are asked why they preach in a national language or trade language instead of the local language of their congregation, they often respond that they did their theological training in the trade language, and that the local language is not rich in theological terms. If the pastor does not know how to express theological terms in the local language, you can be sure that his people are not grasping these important concepts. When the pastor does not preach and teach in the local language, he is leaving the important task of choosing the correct term to interpreters who do not have the benefit of the pastor's theological training. The use of interpreters who are not trained in biblical language can result in wrong words being used for important Christian concepts, and this can lead to syncretism or even heresy. The Puanave people of Colombia were re-discipled when missionaries uncovered syncretism. Although the Puanave had become culturally Christian in the 1950s, they mixed magic with their understanding of Christianity's behavioral norms. Many misunderstandings resulted from using the national language, Spanish, in their Christian activity. When New Tribes mission workers spent 7 years in learning the Puanave language in the 1970s, they were surprised at the syncretistic beliefs held. At first, they tried teaching the Bible using traditional teaching methods. The Puanave nodded their agreement, but missed many of the key points. It was only through a chronological presentation of God's Word, beginning with the Old Testament and on to the Gospels, story by story, that they were able to vividly portray the holy nature and character of God, the sinful condition of man, the grip that Satan has on this world, and the redeeming solution to man's predicament found in Jesus Christ. Reflecting on this redemptive panorama of God's provision, the village elder held up his thumb near to his forefinger and observed, "I came just this close from going to hell." Consider the example of Jesus. He taught using the common heart language of the people rather than the trade language. Jesus spoke in the format that the common people understood, such as stories, parables, and proverbs. The people who heard were able to understand and apply them, bringing about transformed lives. By communicating in the heart language and using the methods that are common in the culture, we can minimize the danger of syncretism and heresy. A second key element in reducing syncretism is to develop discipling resources that are worldview-specific. Generic discipleship materials are insufficient, Certainly, there are biblical essentials that every new Christian needs to know, such as prayer, worship, witness, fellowship, and ministry. These practices, however, should fit the local culture under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, rather than the practices of the host culture of the missionary. Kraft points out that syncretism occurs when the evangelizers impose their cultural values on the new Christians and fail to separate the evangelizer's own culture adequately from the biblical message. If a certain set of discipleship materials worked well with a people group or segment of society, it is because the materials were meaningful to that worldview. The fact that they served so well among one people should serve as a caution that they will not likely meet needs as effectively in a different cultural setting. The best discipling resource among oral communicators is not a printed booklet, but an obedient Christian. Oral communicators learn by observing. Discipleship involves the disciple spending time with the more mature believer, learning by following his or her example. The teaching is conducted more by watching and doing rather than just learning facts. Those discipling oral learners would best follow the biblical models such as Elijah, Jesus, and Paul. For example, Paul tells the Philippian believers, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." The goal would be that the disciple would immediately become a discipler. As Paul told Timothy, "The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." A third key element in discipling oral learners, in order to limit syncretism, is to recognize the importance of stories in transforming a person's worldview. N.T. Wright says that stories constitute the core of every culture's worldview. A culture houses its central convictions in its fundamental narrative, whether its narrative is implicit or explicit. The ancient mythologies that we find in cultures around the world are explicit examples of this. Those stories answer four fundamental worldview questions. Who am I? Where am I? What has gone wrong? What can be done about it? Every culture uses stories to tell us what it means to be human, what kind of world we live in, why there is suffering and pain, and what, if anything, we can do to deal with that suffering and pain. Christianity has its own distinctive answers to those worldview questions. In order to influence the worldviews of disciples, we need to tell biblical stories that offer alternative answers to the fundamental worldview questions. The Bible answers these questions with special vividness and power in the opening chapters of Genesis. That is one reason why it is so important to include Old Testament stories in discipling. Furthermore, when we tell biblical stories chronologically, we are offering a powerful alternative worldview from the very beginning of our presentation. Biblical stories and the view of the world embedded in them can replace or refine the cultural stories and the worldview embedded in them. Wright argues that this is why Jesus so often told stories, particularly parables. Jesus intended them to challenge the existing Jewish worldview and to provide an alternative picture of reality that Jesus called the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. Wright says,
"Stories are actually peculiarly good at modifying or subverting other stories and their worldviews. Where head-on attack would certainly fail, the parable hides the wisdom of the serpent behind the innocence of the dove, gaining entrance and favor, which can then be used to change assumptions which the hearer would otherwise keep hidden away for safety."
Wright says stories come into conflict with each other because worldviews and the stories which characterize them represent the realities of one's life. people are threatened by the intrusion of an opposing worldview or story, because it challenges their understanding of reality. Wright says,
"The only way of handling the clash between two stories is to tell yet another story, explaining how the evidence for the challenging story is in fact deceptive."
If stories anchor people's existing perspective on the world, then the best thing Christians can do in order to displace that perspective is to tell better stories. And we have them. Our stories must provide biblical answers to the essential questions of life. The more biblical stories people know and can fit into a single comprehensive story of God's saving work, the more completely they are able to embrace a biblical worldview. By changing their fundamental view of the world, we hope to influence a wide variety of beliefs and practices which grow out of that fundamental core. Wright argues that stories lie at the core of a worldview. Formal belief statements, including propositional and theological statements, grow out of those stories. Thus, discipleship that offers only propositional teaching does not reach to the center of the worldview. If we give only propositional teaching and do not present biblical stories to challenge existing worldview stories, we run the risk of syncretism. The cultural stories will continue to comprise the heart of the worldview, and discipleship will deal only with the dimensions of the person's life outside of what is most real to them. Because propositional beliefs are generated by and reflected in the core stories, those cultural stories will continually be challenging the Christian propositional content. We wind up with the tragedy of professing Christians who assent to biblical propositions, but whose essential worldview and value system is deeply tied to worldview stories that have gone unchallenged. That mix of contradictory religious beliefs and practices is the essence of syncretism. It constitutes a failure in discipling. A careful study of an unreached people group's worldview will reveal common ground, bridges between their worldview and the Bible. On these matters, the discipler may simply reinforce existing beliefs and practices. Worldview study also will disclose matters on which the people group's worldview is contrary to the biblical ideal. These contrary matters are barriers. In those instances, the discipler guides converts to replace the existing belief or practice with the biblical one. In addition, the study may reveal issues in which the existing practices and beliefs can be revised into the way of Christ. This approach to discipling aims to minimize the syncretism that comes when people just adopt Christian rituals or practices, but keep intact the mythology that underlies the traditional religion. When their core stories are not challenged and replaced, the traditional mythology will continue and may, over time, infuse the Christian practices with meanings from the traditional religion. A fourth key element in order to avoid syncretism is to provide a recorded oral Bible for each people group in their language. This is a recorded set of stories, biblically accurate and told in the worldview context. At this point, the oral Bible may be the only scriptural resource available to oral learners. At some future time, when a written Bible translation is completed, then it could be recorded to provide a standard point of reference. In an oral Bible, the stories are communicated in natural, live situations by mother-tongue storyers from the people group, using the mannerisms and storytelling techniques which are appropriate to that people group. The Bible stories are checked to ensure biblical accuracy before recording takes place. By utilizing this system that checks the stories as they are told, it will ensure that this recorded oral Bible is a plumb line for oral methods such as stories, song, and the like. By telling Bible stories in a straightforward way, we give new converts an opportunity to engage biblical truth directly and discover its message for themselves. This approach is significantly different from the approach that has people read numerous individual verses sequenced according to the curriculum writer's sense of importance and logic, and largely divorced from their biblical context. Telling a biblical story in an interesting and accurate way is a simple but powerful manner of freeing disciples to process Scripture. They can do it with a minimum of filtering and interpretive baggage coming from the disciples' culture and experience of Christianity. This is especially true when we tell the stories in chronological order, thus putting them in a biblical context. The practice of keeping the story pure, that is, separate from our own comments and interpretive remarks, protects the oral learners from the syncretism that might come from embracing a polished system of ethics, theology, or pastoral philosophy that has a significant dose of European, North American, Korean, Brazilian, or Chinese cultural baggage. Instead, they synthesize a biblical theology from the stories and can apply it in all kinds of practical situations with courage. In summary, those of us who seek to make disciples of oral learners will want them to understand biblical truth and live obedient lives as free from syncretism as possible. We can increase the likelihood of that happening when we disciple in the mother tongue, use worldview-specific approaches instead of generic ones, utilize biblical stories extensively, and work with mother tongue speakers to produce an oral Bible that provides a reliable repository of biblical truth.